That's what he's called us to do here as well. And, you know, God is doing that in amazing ways, in amazing places. And maybe I'll share a bit more about that as we go on. Should we just turn to the scriptures, to Isaiah chapter 9? Looking forward to tonight, even as we do that, to just opening up God's word again there and praising him. Let's keep that heart of praise, the heart of Christmas, as we come back tonight with our friends. But Isaiah 9 is where we've been in these last few weeks. Thanks again, Tim, for this series, which just doing this one has really blessed me. But this idea of looking at the Christmas carol, a story that's got its foundations on the Christian message, and it's a story that we've kind of intertwined with Isaiah 9, just looking at the transformations that happen in that passage. So we're looking at Isaiah 9. We're going to focus on verse 7, but I'd love us to just read from verse 2 again. And here we go with this wonderful passage of scripture. If you do have if you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Someone will bring you one. I think they've already been doing that even as I've been talking. So Isaiah 9, verse 2, it says this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. And I've just lost my place. I was so excited. Here we go, Isaiah chapter 9. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Just before I pray and then dive into this, I'm really inspired by the children, the way they're learning these scriptures at the moment. You know, I think memory, scripture memory is a fantastic thing to do. And this verse, I've only ever learned the first bit and the last bit of Isaiah 9:7. But even that, sometimes you don't have to learn the whole verse, guys. That's absolutely fine. Even that has blessed the socks off me in the sort of years, and particularly at this kind of Christmas time. So I wonder, do you reckon you could learn with me this verse, Isaiah 9, verse 7, the first bit and the last bit? Okay, so here we go. It's really easy. Of the increase of his government and peace, that's right, there will be no end. Should we just try that again all together? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Try to do it without looking at your Bible. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And then this is the last bit of the verse. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Try that with me. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So Isaiah 9 verse 7, the beginning and end, says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, just proclaiming that does us good. And Lord, I pray that it really would stick in people's hearts and minds, that would be a scripture even over Christmas time that becomes embedded in our lives and hearts. And Lord, I ask for your help now that as we just take a few moments to unpack that, to enjoy it, to relish it, to delight in it, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn afresh to you. So come, Lord Jesus, just as you've been working in this service, continue your work, I pray, in me and in all of us. And all God's people said, Amen. As we've been looking at the Christmas carol, and this wonderful story of how Someone's life was transformed as they were shown something of Christmas past, present, and future. We've seen that it's possible to break from things that trap us in the past. And we've seen, too, that it's possible in the present to allow our lives to be led and experience transformation that comes from spending time with Jesus and doing what he says. I wasn't here last Sunday morning, but Tim and I had shared the message before he shared it with you guys, and that little phrase, spending time with Jesus and doing what he says, stuck with me, and I've been trying to live it and enjoy it, and I hope you've been doing the same, because that changes everything when we do that, when we spend time with Jesus and do what he says. And today we're thinking about Christmas future, dreams of a better Christmas to come. How will it end, folks? How will it end? What will the future be? What will my future be? What will your future be? You know, for Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, in this story that we've been thinking about, that was one of the things, is that it gets close to the end of the film, and he's there with the thinking about the future. He starts becoming really preoccupied. What will my future be in? And how is that going to play out? And so we're going to see, actually, how the story ends. We're going to pick it up as Ebenezer's kind of woken up with a fresh desire now to make the most of his life, to move towards those members of his family that he's kind of been sort of pulling back from, and he's going towards his nephew's house, and here we pick up the end of the film. Here we go. I think this is going to maybe work. Let's give it a shot.
Oh, wait, wait. Is it an animal that grunts and growls?
Yes.
And lives in London?
Yes.
A horse?
No.
A cow?
No.
A dog?
A pig?
No.
An ass?
Yes and no.
I know what it is, Fred, I know!
Right.
It's your...
Uncle Scrooge. Well, bless my soul.
I've come to dinner. If you'll have me.
Oh, of course, Uncle. Welcome, welcome. Merry Christmas.
Good. Next year we must have this dinner at my house. I insist. I'll spare no expense. No, you can't take it with you, can you? A full 16 minutes late. What do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am a bit behind in my time.
You are indeed. Step in here.
Well, it's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday.
Now, I'll tell you what, Mr. Cratchit. I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I am about to raise your salary.
Merry Christmas to you, Bob. Merry Christmas, Bob, my good fellow. Then I have given you in many a year.
I'll raise your salary and do whatever I can to help your struggling family. And we'll discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a bowl of Christmas punch. But first, let's make up the fires. I want you to go out and buy another skettle of coal before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit. Off with you, Bob. We've was saving to do.
Hilly-ho, Bob!
Yes, sir.
Right away, sir.
Happy New Year! And God send you a Happy New Year!
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did all that he said he would, and more. And to our tiny Tim, who got well, Scrooge was like a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone!
And to keep singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you'll have to come back tonight. It's a great ending, isn't it? It's a happy ending. But it's a story, isn't it? It's Disney. You know, Disney films end like that. But in the real life, we open up our newspapers, we turn on our telly, and it doesn't look like it's going to end like that, does it? In real life, surely it doesn't all end happily ever after. Or does it? Well, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 is where we need to look to find out what the future will be. And it's a wonderful picture of the future. It says this, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. What will the future be? The future will be the ever-increasing reign of Christ. The ever-increasing reign of this child that we're celebrating, who I loved singing that are coming back to the heart of Christmas, and it's all about you, Jesus. The ever-increasing reign of the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's the ever-increasing reign of Him. Kingdoms will come and go, governments will come and go, the good, the bad, the ones that were indifferent, politicians will come and go, but Christ kingdom will go on forever and ever. You know, there are those who sometimes look on the church and it's struggling times at different places, and sometimes they will even forecast the kind of demise of the church. But you know, the church, those that follow Jesus and come into his kingdom and under his rule and reign, that church will grow and grow and grow and has been growing since the time of Christ and continues to spread with amazing power and sort of just amazing transformation in places that you'd think are completely barren to the things of God. The gospel is remarkable. They estimate that every day between 75,000 people and 100,000 people come to Christ every day. Isn't that amazing? And probably because it's a Sunday today it's probably closer to the 100,000 to make up the averages. That the gospel is spreading today phenomenally. Maybe you're kind of struggling to, picture what that's like. Well, it means that people are turning to the Lord Jesus in all kinds of different places and different ways. I'd heard of a guy this past month who came to Christ in prison. He was a notorious criminal, and he'd had someone invite him to the Alpha course in prison, and he'd said no. He said, in fact, go away, otherwise I'm going to hit you. And this guy was notorious for hitting people in the prison. So the guy came back the next week and just said, hey, you're welcome to come along now, of course, and there's biscuits. And then he ran away because he was so afraid. And this guy thought, biscuits, I'll go along. and he decided to take about 20 of his mates. So this little prison alpha was completely kind of inundated with rowdy prisoners, because these guys hadn't really come to the message. And the old vicar who was taking it and the two nuns who were with him were your stereotypical Christians, he said, as he went in that first day. And as he tried to wind them up and annoy them, they just kept loving him. And as the course went on and he stuck with it, he found that his heart was softening because he'd never been loved before. And this guy, at one point, a few weeks after starting the course, knelt down in his prison cell and said, "Jesus, I need you to change me. And I want to come to you. And I need there to be something different in my life so I know it's happened." He woke up the next day. Didn't feel anything particular, but he looked in the mirror and he just looked like a different person. He stepped out of his prison cell and the people around said he just looked like a different person. And then he went up to the prison guard, said, "I need to see the chaplain. Something's happened." And the chaplain came in and said, "You know, what's happened?" And he started saying about the transformation that he'd given his life to Christ. And he started then just weeping and weeping and weeping. And all his friends in the prison cell could see. And he said to them, "Look, I'm a changed man. If you're afraid of me or you've got anything of mine, you can keep it. If you're worried of what I'm going to do to you, don't be afraid. I've given my life to Christ." And revival started breaking out in the prisons. They had like hundreds doing the course. God's doing stuff. He's doing his stuff in an amazing way. He's doing stuff at United. God's giving people dreams to show up to United just before they go away so they can get a Bible. I was thrilled about that. He's doing stuff in Summer Hill School. You know, we used to have the concert here. And, you know, the head changed and a few things changed. And, you know, and one of the things, they not really kind of ditched their nativity concert stuff. So we just keep praying and going along anyway. The vicar at All Saints, great guy, has become a governor there. And he just said, "You're welcome to come and do your kind of concert, winter festival concert at his church." Said last year it was kind of a bit all over the place, not much reference to God. Anyway, this year, Laura and I were there. We turned up for the Summer Hill concert. And Phil, the vicar at All Saints, does a big welcome. And he says, "You're welcome to come to All Saints over the Christmas or to Holland Road Baptist Church." Isn't that amazing? And then they start doing and they sing the carols. And some of the kids get up and do the reading spot on out of Scripture. And then this kid gets up to read a poem he's written about the one who came at Christmas, the King. And he ends it with this line: "Don't forget Jesus, the focus, this Christmas." You could hear a pin drop. I couldn't have done a better message myself. Because Jesus is working. Jesus is working when we go carol singing on the streets. We bump into a guy from the valleys of Wales. On the top of Brunswick Square, Iris gets chatting to him, invites him along. He brings a bunch of people to the candlelight last week. They're sitting there, loving it, meeting people. Taking away Christmas gospel at the end. Jesus is working. He is increasing his government, his rule, his reign. And he's doing it through vessels like you and I. And he's doing it in extraordinary ways all around the world. And it's a wonderful thing just to almost sometimes sit back and watch. You know, the other cool thing about the Summer Hill concert is it went from these kind of precious moments to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on a steel band. And that just made me smile. I have to say, it was a bit like when the music came on at the time of the offering after we'd just been worshiping God and enjoying him. And I had to smile because that's what I love about Christmas, is that Jesus takes as much delight in some kid kind of getting excited about, the wrapping paper, and when they're 1 year old, the wrapping paper is about as exciting as the toy. And, something about Jesus' smile and his work and saying, "David, I'm doing something. You can relax and enjoy this moment." He is doing something amazing. Of the increase of his reign, there will be no end. No end. It will just go on and on and on. It says, in fact, in Isaiah 9, verse 7, it says this of his reign, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jesus establishes his kingdom and he upholds it. It's going to continue on and nothing is going to get in its way because he is able to see it done. In fact, it says from that time on, it will be established and upheld. What's that time? Well, you need to go to Luke chapter 1, which we've got up here on the screen, when the angel comes to Mary and echoes some of these words, which were written in Isaiah 600 years beforehand, talking to Mary. The angel says, he, this child, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, just like it says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. This kingdom of Christ is not just ever increasing now, but it will go on forever. And that is a very long time. Forever and ever and ever. I love this phrase that we were singing about, that the angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. From this time on and forevermore. Isn't it wonderful that Christ has come and his reign is extending and will go on forevermore? The kingdom has come because the king has come. Now, we know in scripture that there's a kind of now and not yet of the kingdom. The king has come. He's arrived on that first Christmas, and he encourages people to embrace his kingdom, which is breaking out. But then there's still yet another time, a second coming, where the kingdom will come in all of its fullness, when there'll be something extraordinary that happens, when all will bow the knee to the king and his reign will be much more clearly evident than it even is now. But even now, the kingdom is growing, for the king has come. And as the king's reign extends, so too something else extends. Not just the ever-increasing reign of Christ, but the ever-increasing peace of Christ. Do you notice back in Isaiah 9 verse 7? This was the verse that we begun learning at the beginning. So should we try it again? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Do you see the connection between his government and his peace? The two are wedded together. Not just as his rule and reign increase, but his peace increases and will do that forever. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Where his reign is, there is peace. His reign ushers in a peace like no other. It is again the message of the angels. The angels came, didn't they, to the shepherds and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace among men on whom his favor rests. This great God, when he's glorified, he brings his peace into our lives. So what will the future hold? Will it hold conflict or peace? Will it hold brokenness or wholeness? Because this word peace has a wholeness about it. The future, my friends, is not in conflict. The future is not in brokenness. The future, if you turn to Revelation 21 and 22, it's very clear. It's this picture of amazing wholeness and healing and peace like no other. And the challenge is that many have thought, well, that's a great vision. So you know what? I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to try and usher that in. I'm going to take over a few governments or a few people, or I'm going to, you know, exercise my authority, and we're going to bring in peace. We're going to maybe a Karl Marx approach, saying, right, we'll make everyone equal. That will make it all better. And you try and bring in this utopia, and it just goes horribly wrong. But you know, that can even happen in other places, maybe not so bad as maybe we think. Karl Marx, you know, you look back in history and you think of someone like Oliver Cromwell, who was a God-fearing man. And yet the civil war and the mess and the kind of violence, just, well, you think of even some of these amazing figures of history that we kind of look up to and honor. You know, you think of Nelson Mandela, and again, just amazingly inspired by this man with his message of reconciliation and peace. And yet even Nelson Mandela, as he now has come to the end of his life and we all look at South Africa, there's this concern. Will this peace last? Because he's dead. but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring lasting peace. Jesus is uniquely placed to bring peace in the world because firstly, he is, as it says in his establishing and upholding it, he does it with justice and righteousness. There's no corruption, no guile, nothing wrong in Jesus. He's just absolutely perfect. Everything he does is good. Everything. Everything he does forever is good. And the other thing that's unique about Jesus is he reigns forever. He's the living one. He was dead and he's alive forevermore. So his reign is not going to stop at any point. So of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so we get these glorious pictures in the Bible and in the carols that we sing. We're going to sing at the end of the service, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," and it has that glorious line at the end, "When peace shall over all the earth." I love that line. You notice it's when peace shall over all the earth, not if peace shall over all the earth. Because why? It's a certain future. This future of the ever-increasing reign of Christ and the ever-increasing peace of Christ is absolutely certain. And why is it certain? Well, because of Isaiah 9, verse 7, it says this, and this is the last bit of the verse, which you, again, have been trying to learn with me, and it says this, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The zeal is God's passionate commitment to getting the thing done. God is passionately committed to seeing the reign of Christ and the peace of Christ ever increase. And because he's passionately committed to it and because he's the Lord Almighty, guess what that means? It means there's none mightier than him. No one's going to get in his way. Nothing's going to come up which he can't overcome. He's the Lord Almighty, and so his reign is going to go on forever and ever, and it will be accomplished. I love the wills of Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase in his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on his throne, and from that time on and forever, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. It's certain. You know, you and I know what it is to hit things that are beyond our power to overcome. You know, maybe it's the weather at times. You walk down the seafront and right down the end of our road, the wind kind of funnels. And on those windy days, we sometimes go out for a walk as a family and we hit the wind and we think, nah, we're not going to do this. Or maybe it's the traffic. As you try and get back somewhere for Christmas, or you hit the traffic and you just can't overcome it. You just got to sit in it. You know what, Jesus and the Almighty God, never get caught in a traffic jam. Never get kind of find sort of the elements too big for them. No, they control the elements. This is the Lord Almighty. You and I will face things in the future that we can't overcome. But God never does. Of the increase of his reign and his peace, there will be no end. But here's the thing. If that's the future, what about my future? If that is the sure and certain future, what about my future? What about your future? That's what Scrooge was kind of preoccupied with. He was seeing how things could end up, but he wanted to know, was his future going to be like this or was it going to be like this? Could he have any impact on that? And what we see in the Bible time and time again is that as we think about this Christmas in 3 days' time, folks, or next Christmas in a year's time, or the whole of eternity, as we think about that, what will the future be? Well, the key question that will determine our future will be whether we welcome the reign of Christ or whether we resist it. Because that is the key certainty that the reign of Christ will increase. Will we welcome his reign or we resist it? And whenever we resist his reign, or we kind of say, right, I want to establish my own reign. I know how I'd like Christmas to be. I'll do it my way, thank you very much. And so I go into Christmas with my preconceived ideas of how I want things to happen, how I want everyone else to kind of look out for me or make sure I get the best of this or the worst of that or whatever. You know, when we do that, when our minds are preoccupied with ourselves, or even here's the thing, if our minds get preoccupied with someone else, maybe someone who we're looking to their reign. Maybe it's your boss this Christmas time who dominates your thinking. Maybe he's good, maybe he's bad. You're preoccupied with whether the business is going to go well or not. Maybe it's even a family member, a matriarchal figure or a patriarchal figure, and you're thinking, okay, about their reign. How is it going to be at Christmas with them kind of reigning Christmas? They do not reign Christmas. Your boss does not reign. All those kingdoms will come and go. If you think about them and preoccupied with them and their reign, you will not have peace. If you're trying to extend your reign, you will not have peace. Peace of God comes as we embrace the reign of God. There's this connection between the peace of God that we so often want and are searching for, and yet we fail often to realize that to get the peace of God, we need the reign of God in our lives. We need to welcome Him and say, God, come and have your way. You know, one thing I've learned about Christmas holidays is that it's worth getting your expectations right as you go into a holiday season. And I've realized that a lot of the conflict can come in family life when there's a clash of expectations. You know, we go away for a day or something with family, and I'm expecting it to be like this, and maybe someone else in the family is expecting it to be like that, and the kids were expecting it to be like this, and then whoosh, conflict. So a little top tip just to have a better Christmas is talk to one another about your expectations and be willing to surrender your own expectations so that the others can be, enabled to happen. That's a good way to help Christmas go better. But here's the thing. God's got not just expectations for tomorrow. God's got plans. God's got plans for the future. And He does His good job of communicating them to us. And when there's a clash of expectations between my expectations and God's, who do you think are going to win out? God's every time. And actually, His plans are way better than my plans. So when I want to discover His peace, I need to surrender to His plans and say, God, Your will be done in my life. Your reign. That's when I'll know Your peace. You must become greater, I must become less. When we have a heart like that, Christmas is going to go far, far better. His reign, not ours. You know, Jesus said in Mark 1:15, as He came into preaching, He said, the kingdom of God is near. The king has come, in effect. And then He said, repent and believe. That was His message, repent and believe. And I find that one of the things that really does me good is on a regular basis to say, right, God, I'm rededicating my life to You. I'm repenting and believing afresh that You're the King, not me. And I want to turn and get on board with Your plans. And a peace comes in those moments. And there's all the areas of my life or your life where we don't let Him reign. Where we decide, okay, we'll let You have Sundays and our kind of outward behavior in front of our Christian friends, but the thoughts that go on our minds or our finances or our lives with others who don't know Christ, we'll just do those as we want to do them. And actually, those are then the areas that we lack peace in. Whereas when we let things come under His reign, then His peace wonderfully comes into our lives. Let His peace come by letting His reign come, folks, this Christmas. Invite Him, repent and believe again. This guy whose name I've forgotten, I should have written it down, but this guy was in prison. He's now out of prison. He works as a youth worker and, again, doing some amazing things in schools. Anyway, he says that one of the things that he does every day now is rededicate his life to the Lord. And when I heard that, I thought, that sounds so wise. I mean, why would I want to live today not saying, Jesus, be my everything? And so I've started trying to do that a bit more, and it's a great thing to do. It's been a lot more peaceful since I started to do that in my own heart with God. It doesn't mean everything in life is sorted, but it means that He comes and rules and reigns, and His reign is beautiful. He does some wonderful things as we look to Him. There's a wonderful promise in the scriptures, Colossians 3:15, which says this. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, connecting this peace and this reign. And in your lives, folks, there'll be decisions where you're trying to make them and you're thinking, right, if I go this way, and you can kind of imagine into it, and there just isn't a peace. But when you go this way and you say, God, I want to do what you want, then a peace comes. And this Christmas, don't go into this time with any plan where you kind of don't know that God's going to reign over that plan, because otherwise that won't bring you peace. You might think it will, you know, going into Christmas thinking, well, if I can just have that little bit of my own time, my selfish time, I will really get refreshed. Rubbish. That will be the bit that brings you least peace. If you go into it saying, Jesus, come reign, I want to repent and believe, have your way, then your Christmas will be transformed, a bit like Scrooge's. And you know what? If you carry on living like that, then that day when Jesus comes back, or you go to see him, and it comes around quicker than we imagine, that day will be glorious. I love that song we were singing, all my days I will sing this song of gladness. Give my praise to the fountain of delights. You know, because we're going to be doing that forever. He is the one who will reign. He must become greater. We must become less. So let's allow him, shall we, just as we come to this Christmas afresh, to say, Jesus, I rededicate my life to you. Or maybe you've never done that. Maybe just for the first time, say, Jesus, come and rule. Because it does end happily ever after if we will submit to his reign. If not, we just get swept aside. Our kingdoms come to nothing. But if we submit to his reign, this wonderful king, this prince of peace, it ends gloriously. So should we just bow our heads? And I'm just going to afresh recommit my life to the Lord, say, come Lord, reign in every part of my life. I want your peace. And I invite you just to do the same in this moment. I'm coming back to the heart of Christmas, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. Lord, we are sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things we've made big things, when actually they're small things. And I'm sorry for when you, the King, eternal King, have become small. Might want to say sorry for something specific in your life, something that's maybe something that's so uncertain that you've kind of pinned your hope and joy on. That's nothing to do with the rule and reign of Christ. It's no wonder you're lacking peace. Well, we're sorry for those things, and we turn again, repenting, believing in you, eternal King. And I ask you to reign in my life, in every part, my thoughts, my deeds, my words. Lord, I want to surrender my plans for Christmas and embrace your plans. I want to look out for others and how I can make them experience something of your joy and your peace. And Lord, I thank you that your reign is so sure. Thank you for the glorious, wonderful hope. I lift my eyes up to you now, Jesus. I bow down to you, my King. In this moment of stillness, Jesus is here. He's promised it. Whatever you would want to do to express to him that he is your Lord, it might be just opening up your hands. It might be getting on your knees if you're able to do that. It might be just bowing your head. Why not just do that very thing for easier. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Bow before him now with reverence and fear. Invite the band to come up and just in the stillness there's this wonderful picture of Christ ascending in the stillness and holy moments mixed with bleating sheep. And I'm just going to sing this wonderful carol, which again ends with this picture of eternity, peace ruling over all the earth. And just continue to allow Christ rule and reign as we sing a very familiar and precious carol, Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Let's stand together, shall we?